Great stuff. Now, look, there's a handout that'll be worth looking at. You find that we're going to think this morning very briefly about pragmatism, doing what's right or doing what works. That's the choice, or at least I guess I'm raising the question, do we have to choose? Do we have to choose between doing what's right or doing what works? That's the issue I want us to think about this morning. So look, the handout might be helpful, you can scribble away and make some sense. Now look, the background to this, I guess, look, I'm feeling a little bit defensive about this at the moment because in a recent conversation, someone said that I was pragmatic. And in all truth, I didn't like that because I took it to mean that I wasn't principled. And the reason I took it that way is because I think that's what they meant. They think I'd gone a step beyond being concerned with what was effective to what was expedient. And I think expedient is one of those nasty English words. It means doing what's convenient or practical, but also what's possibly improper or immoral, because in one sense, the end justifies the means. Now, they weren't accusing me of immorality. They might have been accusing me of being improper. When they accused me of being pragmatic, they thought I was overly concerned with what works. And therefore, by definition, I wasn't concerned with what was right. And perhaps you can see why my inner lawyer was gearing up in my defense. Because that kind of mud sticks, and it stinks to anyone who wants to be taken seriously as a Bible guy. And yet, if we're honest, we all want to do what works. And that's not wrong. None of us wants to waste our time doing what doesn't work. We want to see something tangible, the fruit of our labors. We want to achieve something. We want to move forward with a project. And we, as church planters, I think, are especially susceptible to the pull of the pragmatic. We can't afford to waste our time or waste our efforts investing in what doesn't work. We have limited resources and we have limited time. And we need to point those resources in the direction of success, because not to do so could be catastrophic for our plant. And we feel that it weighs heavily upon us, doesn't it? And so I think this issue of pragmatism is worth spending a couple of minutes thinking through. Look, it's slightly different, I guess, to the practical, or some might argue, pragmatic issues that have occupied our time in this slot. I guess what I'm doing here is actually I'm providing a defense of what we've been doing and what we'll go on doing in the time ahead. Okay, there are a number of points I want to make. Now, first of all, look, let's think about the definition of pragmatism. Pragmatism is, I think, essentially assessing a plan in terms of its practical success. It's a way of assessing problems and situations based on their immediate practical consequences, rather than assessing them on the basis of some abstract or ideological concern. In other words, to put it very succinctly, what's right is what works. If it works, it's right. What's right is what works. It is the logic that justifies and underpins a particular course of action depending on the likelihood of its outcome. Secondly, the attraction of pragmatism. Look, we've got to be clear, it's not all bad. At its heart, it has a right concern to see something happen. And therefore, those who want to see the kingdom of God grow will feel the pull of pragmatism. It's attractive for those for whom stewarding the opportunities and the abilities God has entrusted to us really matters. Not necessarily bad. We want to do things that work. We want to achieve the things that we set out to achieve. And that is, of course, especially true in church planting. But thirdly, what is the problem with pragmatism? And the problem is, it doesn't work. I mean, somewhat ironically, pragmatism sounds good in theory, but it doesn't work in practice. And the reason for that is that pragmatists, pure pragmatists, end up making decisions and choosing a direction based on immediate practical consequences. And so, look, it's too short term in its approach. It doesn't think into the future or the far future. I mean, I'm reminded of Andy Mason, who had a staff conference a number of years ago, challenged the pastors in the room, perhaps especially the senior pastors, to say, it's all very well having a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, but what's your 100-year plan? Now, the reason that pragmatism can't look into the future and deals with the immediate is because no one can predict what will happen down the line. I mean, you often can't tell what will happen in the future at the start, can you? That's especially the case for us at the moment, because I think 18 months ago, none of us saw the pandemic around the corner. And we're reminded, aren't we? We do not know the future. So, for example, in ministry terms, I remember I had no idea that an international cafe in Balham would be such a key contributor to our early growth. It wasn't part of my plan. It was only because the arrival of a couple of brothers who were enthusiastic about it that it happened. I didn't know and I didn't think that there were many internationals in our neighborhood. I was anxious about the short-term implications of losing gifted Bible study group leaders from our small group ministry, or people I could train to be small group leaders to this sort of ministry. And yet God used that to become a key contributor to the growth of our evening congregation and produce even better small group leaders, because these guys knew they weren't going to get anywhere with just the Bible. They had to invest personally and relationally into the international students in particular who came to us. Now look, because pragmatism thinks only short term and not longer term, it means that we'll probably have to live with the effect from unintended consequences, which is the idea that says that the more complex a thing, the more likely it's going to produce things that we weren't planning, that we didn't anticipate, and we don't want. Sometimes those unintended consequences can be good, like in the cafe. More often they're bad. It's like, oh, hang on a second, I wasn't expecting that. That's not a good thing. Where did that come from? You know, you wind it back and you think, ah, okay. Yeah, we were too short term, we were pragmatic. Now, the principle of unintended consequences is, I think, described in Proverbs 14, verse 12, that says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. In other words, there are some plans that we make that look really good, but they end up in a place that you didn't mean or you don't want to go. That is the problem of pragmatism. So look, fourthly, what is the solution? How can we retain the benefits of a pragmatic approach to ministry and lose the unhelpful or the unhealthy bits? Now, the principal problem with pragmatism is that it is untethered. So it's got nothing that steers it in the right direction or prevents it from veering off into the wrong direction. In its unprincipled form, it is only ever right to do what works. And so we do what works without ever asking whether it's right or not. And look, I think in church planting, there's a fair amount of unprincipled pragmatism. And some of the church planting that attracts attention, that's not from our theological constituency, but which grows big numbers, is driven by an unprincipled, untethered pragmatism. But of course, we would never do that, would we? Because we're good gospel ministers. And we have to do those things, therefore, that are consistent with the gospel that we want to see make progress. And so what we need is a principle pragmatism that is tethered to the scriptures. Because the Bible gives us both a framework within with which to operate and also freedom within which to operate. So it describes what we're meant to do, how we're meant to do it, and how we're meant to assess it. That's what the Bible does. And we want that kind of theologically driven pragmatism in terms of the decisions that we make. Craig Hamilton sums it up well, I think, when he says this: doing things that work isn't the problem. The problem comes when we decide what to do based on what seems to be to work rather than on what God asks us to do. What works isn't a reliable guide for what's right. So look, we have to do what's right. We have to do what the Bible says we ought to do. But I guess you quickly move, don't you, into a place where you say, yeah, but then what do I do, or how do I do what the Bible says that we ought to do? I can remember one church planter a number of years ago, probably about 5 years ago now, but perhaps not that long, deciding that he wanted to jump on the Alpha bandwagon because he'd done so and had sort of tethered their church to the Alpha website and immediately got a couple of people who'd signed up for an Alpha course that he then had decided he was going to run. And it was difficult. But I was trying to persuade him, look, do what's right. The Lord will honor you for that. And you and I both know that if you're going to get people to a real conviction of sin and persuade people to trust in the Christ of the scriptures, you're going to have to give them so much more than what Alpha gives them, because it is inadequate in that regard. And it was a difficult decision, a difficult discussion, because it was so attractive. Why run a Christianity Explored course to which few would come, when actually you can have an Alpha course to which lots of people would come? They'd come through the website, because it was convenient and local, rather than coming through people's friendships and so on and so forth. But the truth is, we will do what the Bible commends in ministry and will not do what the Bible prohibits. But that will only get us so far. There'll still be questions to answer. And the Bible won't always give us the answers that we want or that we're looking for, or it just won't give us answers. For example, we all know that when we gather, the Bible would have us teach the Bible. But it doesn't tell us precisely how to do that, other than, of course, accurately, faithfully, and in an applied way, or when to do it. So how do we decide? How long is it? When does it come in the meeting? The truth is, we'll do whatever works best. Again, listen to Hamilton. He says, with pragmatism, we make decisions based on what we think will work out, even though we don't know enough to predict how it will actually turn out. With theological pragmatism, we make decisions guided by the one who does know what works and how it will turn out. So look, where does this land for us? We want to do things, don't we, that achieve what we set out to achieve. That's the bottom line. We want to see stuff happen. We want to see our church planted. And we must never lose that desire, I think, to see fruit from our gospel ministry. I don't think we're going to be the purely principled guys who hide behind faithfulness as a way of justifying the ineffectiveness of our ministry. But neither are we going to be the pure pragmatism boys who simply do whatever works without asking whether that's the right thing to do. We're going to be the principled pragmatic guys using our theological pragmatism to help us choose our methods and shape our plans. And so I think we'll do these four things at least. First of all, we'll pray, which is something that the purely pragmatic guys would never do. And we'll plan, which is something the purely principled guys might not get round to doing. But we will be practical because we are interested in outcomes. We want to see things being done, and we'll ask what works best. But we'll have principles, theological principles, because we'll always want to do what is right. Now, look, I'm not sure that is a completely watertight, comprehensive treatment of the issue of pragmatism. But I do think it is something with which we need to wrestle. And maybe that's a bit of a help. Why don't I pray? And maybe one or two people want to make a quick comment, and then we'll go to coffee. Let me pray. Father, we don't want to be guys that waste our time in ministry doing what doesn't work. But that makes us particularly susceptible to being unprincipled in the decisions that we make. We want to be the guys that are biblically faithful, but we also know that just doing that without ever asking whether what we're doing is effective is a temptation for us a bit, but also doesn't get us very far. We want to be guys who do what's right and do it in a way that it goes well. Because we want to see the fruit of our labours. We want to see you make the most of the ability and opportunity and capacity that you've entrusted to us. So please, Father, help us to be principled pragmatics for the sake of the kingdom and advance the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.